Yeah.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More than 3 weeks into the government shutdown, Republican senators head to the White House today for a group lunch with President Trump. Their meeting coming as the effects of the shutdown continue being felt.
Officials are warning time is running out for critical programs. SNAP, often called food assistance, which serves more than 40 million Americans, is set to dry up in most states by the end of this month.
ABC's Jay O'Brien, another deadline, November 1st. Open enrollment for those on Obamacare begins without government subsidies to help pay the premiums. Democrats are insisting on that for a reopening of the government. An appeals court has overturned a temporary restraining order, meaning the Trump administration can send National Guard troops to Portland. However, a second ruling prohibits that from happening. Vice President J.D. Vance has arrived in Israel trying to shore up the fragile Gaza ceasefire. Japan's parliament has elected the country's first woman prime minister, ultra-conservative Senai Takaichi. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thied. State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley has sent a letter to the Capital Times demanding a public correction of recent reporting on the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction's handling of educator misconduct investigations. The letter outlines how the reporting misrepresents the DPI's work, omits critical legal and procedural context, and ultimately undermines public trust in the systems designed to protect Wisconsin students. Dr. Underley stated, "Student safety is the foundation of everything that we do in education. Every allegation of educator misconduct is treated with the highest level of seriousness and is thoroughly investigated by the Department of Public Instruction. Any suggestion that the DPI withholds information from the public is categorically false. Records are released in accordance with open record laws, and educator license statuses are publicly available to anyone on the DPI's website." A bridge built in the 1930s to get across the Mississippi River is now closed for demolition. Jimmy Koska reports.
The bridge connecting Wisconsin to Iowa south of La Crosse is now closed. The Black Hawk Bridge, also known as the Lansing Bridge, is in the process of being replaced. The bridge was built 94 years ago and has been closed twice in the past 2 years for structural issues. Construction on its replacement began 2 years ago and is scheduled to open in 2027. In the meantime, the DOT will be providing free car ferries to cross the Mississippi River, while heavier truck traffic will need to use the posted detour through Prairie du Chien a half hour to the south.
You can find more details about the project on both the Wisconsin and Iowa DOT websites.
The Packers prepare for Pittsburgh. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers play the Steelers this week on Sunday night. Matt LaFleur asked about running back Josh Jacobs demanding to get back in the game against the Cardinals Sunday despite a strained calf muscle.
Yeah, he's a grown man. There's no doubt about it. What he says is always backed up by his actions, and I think that's number one on top of the list of what you need to be in order to be a great leader.
Baseball, the Blue Jays beat the Mariners 4-3 to advance to the World Series. Game one will be Friday night in Toronto against the Dodgers. Doc Rivers was asked if he still goes golfing with his friend, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts.
We plan on golf a lot. We never actually get to do it much. But the Brewers, they had an amazing year. And if you're going to lose, you lose to the most historic game in Major League history, and that's how they lost.
That's the Bucks, Doc Rivers, with sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy, blustery, and colder with some scattered showers developing in the afternoon. Highs only in the mid to upper 40s. An isolated shower in the evening, otherwise breezy and cold with lows in the upper 30s. Current temperature is 43.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Don't often agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. They asked her about Congress being shut down and how it related to the Epstein files.
Why drag this out? That is going to have 218 signatures. I say go ahead and do it and get it over with.
Trivia? She's not necessarily my cup of tea, but she reads tea leaves. I think her moving to where she's at says that when that vote happens, there are going to be a major dam break, and it's a problem.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Why is it that President Trump cares more about bailing out Argentinian farmers than he does about Wisconsin soybean farmers? We'll explain the connection.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 8:06 now. Nice to have you back here up north on a Tuesday morning. It is October 21st. Coming up, Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom joining us from the nation's capital. Then at 8:35, we will be talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. About an hour ago, you heard my conversation with State Representative Francesca Hong, candidate for governor. What's that? You didn't hear it? You weren't around an hour ago? Well, we can help you with that. You can get this show as a podcast. Head over to Spotify or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, and listen to us anytime and catch a guest that you might have missed. And maybe you can't hang around till 8:35, but you want to hear Dan Schaefer. Well, start to follow us and you'll get them that way. So again, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us that way. A little later, we'll tell you some of the more popular stories of the past week at Up North News' social media feeds. Spoiler alert, a lot of you are interested in following the No Kings protests all across Wisconsin back on Saturday. That led to some developments in Washington, D.C. as well. So let's scamper right over there right now and talk to Cam Stevenson, Courier Newsroom's political correspondent there, our national correspondent, who His mint green walls have now been, there's an accessory. There's a very red and white Free DC flag. Cam, good morning. Congrats on the redecorating.
Thank you. Thank you. I've been officially welcomed and hazed into the DC community.
the free DC movement. I mean, this states back to, the license plates say taxation without representation.
Yeah.
But, exactly. Now you add, troops to the mix, and you can see why flags like that are probably getting some new mileage.
Yeah, no, most definitely. The idea of Free DC, DC statehood, and especially DC independence from the ability for the federal government to send troops here to actively patrol, that idea is stronger than ever right now. That was a big theme at the No Kings protest in Washington, D.C. over the weekend, as the Free D.C. movement was out in full force. These flags are all over the place, and people want independence, not just from a would-be king, but independence to be their own, government body here.
And I thought it was great that in your newsletter, Below the Beltway, which you can get at beltway.news or through couriernewsroom.com, there is something that these three places have in common: Washington, D.C., Nepal, and Madagascar. Tell folks what you put in the newsletter about what they all shared.
Yeah, well, this it really sparks from a small alert I got from the White House press update team on Friday afternoon, which was that Donald Trump was leaving Washington, D.C. right before the protest started. And this falls right in line with some protests we've seen in other countries this year, in Nepal and Madagascar, where the authoritarian leaders or unpopular leaders there were confronted with protesters and opposition, and instead of facing it and, you know, addressing the public which elected them, they fled. And that's exactly what Donald Trump did this weekend. Is he fled our nation's capital as 200,000 people came here to protest his presidency. And it wasn't until he was in his safe space in Palm Beach, Florida, in his private resort with his Secret Service and private security, that he began making fun of American citizens who were exercising their First Amendment right to protest.
Oh, I mean, as we discussed earlier, I mean, and you note in your newsletter, defecating on them symbolically through, you know, an AI video from a fighter jet, which has Kenny Loggins very bothered here. But it was obsessively posting true to his tiny network. We noted that Congressman Derek Van Orden posted more than 250 times. Jeez. And by one national reporter's count, that is like the new record for like a 24 or 48 hour period, topping. Let's see, it wasn't Marjorie Taylor Greene. It was Nancy Mace had the previous record for the most time. It is an obsession that they have with posting social media, which really says something, Cam, about how having 7 million people take to the streets has a way to maybe get under their skin.
Yeah. Well, my first thought is like, geez, man, get a life. I mean, if I'm spending my weekend just posting online hundreds of times, maybe that's a good sign to go touch some grass, go feel the warmth of the sun, and be around real people. Because, you know, if there were 7 million people protesting, there were protests all across Wisconsin. Something tells me Representative Van Orden has some of his constituents who he represents who aren't happy with the administration. And so instead of being in his own social media bubble that he's apparently creating all by himself, maybe he should talk with these people and figure out what they want so that he could actually come to Washington, D.C., make compromises with Democrats in Congress and reopen the government. Because that's what he's just posting online instead of actually governing.
Well, basically, yeah, he's basically in a bunker at this point, which leads us to another interesting wrinkle that I learned about for the first time in your newsletter. But it has been mentioned elsewhere. I just missed it. But when you are so fixated on, you know, ruling, no matter what the people think of you, there is a tipping point, and apparently, from what's been studied, there's a tipping point at the figure of 3.5% of the population. What is the significance of that?
Yeah, so a bunch of like revolutionary scientists and you know, academics have studied peaceful revolutions throughout the course of history. And what they found is that if 3.5% of the populace is in active peaceful opposition to their government, that is enough to switch that government, to, you know, to oust the leader, to change the leadership, and to peacefully find a way to democratically change who is running the government and the country. So in the United States, we have about 340 million people. So that would be roughly 12 million people in peaceful opposition. And we've seen an escalation in numbers throughout the years or throughout the months since yeah. Trump retook the presidency, where we were at 3 million people over the, you know, in the spring, 5 million people came out into protest in the summer, and now we have 7 million people coming out just last weekend. And that's a huge number, and that gets us incrementally closer to that 12 million.
Well, and if people wonder, well, would that grow? Let me, refer you back to my comments last hour about beef farmers who suddenly learned that the guy they might have voted for wants to purchase a bunch of beef from Argentina. You know, the company or the country, rather, that has now taken our soybean market. Well, they didn't take it. You know, Trump basically gave it to them through a trade war with China, and now wants to help his friend, the ruler in Argentina, whose nickname, by the way, is El Loco. buying Argentinian beef. So do not be surprised if there is some kind of future event with more and more farmers talking about how they feel as well. There never seems to be an end of the list of constituencies that Trump is ready to cheese off next.
Right. Well, and that, I think, is one of the reasons why they were so actively trying to portray the protests this last weekend as violent antithesis to America, because they aren't gaining any constituency. Republicans in Congress and the president himself are at the lowest levels of support they've ever seen. Meanwhile, they are selling our beef, selling our soybeans, selling our agriculture and our livelihood away to the highest bidder. Meanwhile, they're also finding ways to change the makeup of the House of Representatives so they can have an unfair advantage in Congress, which universally people don't like. They don't like when they feel like someone's cheating, even if it's someone that they like. And so all of that coupled together creates this recipe for opposition, which we're seeing.
Well, and that's where when you saw them making such a big deal about a ceasefire last week, and I'm not trying to minimize the significance of a ceasefire if it were to hold, but, you know, there's always the need for a little bit of, shall we say, cautious optimism rather than, you know, openly campaigning for a Nobel Peace Prize. But they probably saw that as one of the few ways he could actually add supporters, as if peace were to hold in the Mideast, which it does not seem to be doing now. So now it's just back to, you know, making other constituencies unhappy in a town that is shut down right now. And so it appears that the only people working hard in Washington, D.C. right now are the demolition workers tearing down the east facade of the White House, which got started yesterday despite a president promising that his ballroom project would not damage the exterior of the White House. Not damage it. Let's bring in a whole demolition crew, Cam. That was, right. I mean, the metaphor of the year yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen destruction at the White House like that since 1812. It's something that, I mean, first of all, he promised one thing, another thing happened. I'm shocked. But you know, his administration at least knows that the bad optics of this. The U.S. Treasury overlooks the White House where this demolition is happening. Employees, after photos were already posted, were instructed not to post any more photos of the demolition because it's just like you said, it's very symbolic to see this, a historic building, the symbol of power in the United States, demolished so that a ballroom could be created.
And one that didn't it didn't go through like Congress or anything. It was just, I'm going to do this. I'm going to raise money from my buddies. You know, I won't tell you what kind of things I'm going to do for them in return. There is just nothing that isn't shady about this whole notion.
Yeah. I mean, I can't get a crosswalk put in my neighborhood without a 90-day commentary period to see if the paint is disruptive to the neighborhood. But he can bring in bulldozers to a taxpayer-funded home and just tear it down. It's beyond absurd.
No, and it is, I mean, again, there's so many images of 2025, but if one of them is the metaphor for it all, it would be what we saw over on the east facade of the White House yesterday. But back to the shutdown and people not getting work done, that means that a newly elected congressional representative from Arizona has still not been sworn in as the game playing goes on by Republican leadership.
Yeah, no, Adelita Grijalva, she's the representative-elect for Southern Arizona. It's been, I want to say, about a month at this point, where she has not only been elected, her election has been certified, not contested at all. She has flown to D.C. and been here waiting to get sworn in, whereas Speaker Mike Johnson has been just moving the goalposts of when he will swear her in. He said, well, there's a shutdown, so we can't do it now. We want to wait until we can have the whole house here to give you a big procession. And I can't remember what his most recent thing is, but he keeps making things up, essentially because her vote would give the House the final vote that it needs to release the Epstein files that the Department of Justice holds. which Mike Johnson has been explicitly told not to let be released. The Trump administration does not want that information out. They want whatever the exact opposite of transparency is into Jeffrey Epstein. And keeping Adelita Grijalva is essentially out of Congress is the way that they keep those files from being in the public eye.
Exactly. Follow all that and more in Cam Stevenson's Below the Beltway newsletter, beltway.news or careernewsroom.com. Thank you, Cam. Appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime.
All right. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area joins us in 15 minutes. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the Recombobulation Area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Transform your bathroom with the beautiful quality of Bath Planet. Bath Planet has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal, a symbol of quality and consumer confidence for over 100 years. And right now, for a limited time, you can upgrade your bathroom for 50% off installation or choose 18 months with no interest and no payments. But you need to call now. This special offer is only available by calling 800-329-4115. That's 800-329-4115. Call 800-329-4115 right now before the offer ends.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I am Phil Nee, and here is a look at Southwestern Wisconsin sports for today. High school volleyball will get underway with WIAA tournament play across the state of Wisconsin. Several teams with play-in matches tonight. The Richland Center Hornets will not be among those teams. I talked to head coach Jamie Johnson recently about Richland Center's playoff fate.
It came out today where you're going for the tournament. Do you think the loss against River Valley hurt you in the seeding process?
I don't think so. Had we won, it might have helped us maybe trying to maybe get into that two seed, but Luther and Barocco were kind of head and shoulders. I mean, Barocco had the max preps ranking was much higher than everybody else's with all their win total. Luther, though, beat Barocco, beat us, beat Aquinas, so they were the top two there. I was happy that we were ahead of Aquinas and we don't have to face them right away, because their record is maybe different, but they play a very, very tough schedule. So there's seven or eight teams. Like even Westby, who we might play, Westby Nakusa winner, Westby just beat Luther Tuesday night. That's why it was such a hard seeding meeting because, Westby beats Luther, Luther beats Barocco, Barocco beats Westby, Adams Friendship all of a sudden pops in and beats Westby, but Luther beats Aquinas. It was like, there was no dominant team that was consistent that made it a little bit easier. So, it's an exciting time, and we'll look forward to next week.
Richland Center head volleyball coach Jamie Johnson. His team will await their tournament opponent. It will be either Nakusa or Westby. The Hornets are seeded third. Nakusa 11th plays at number 3 seed Westby this evening. Also, New Glarus will be at Lancaster. Dodgeville will host Columbus. And Darlington will entertain Prairie du Chien. Adams Friendship will host Westfield. And Poinette will be at GET with the winner to face number 1 seed Viroqua in the next round. That's in Division 3 matches from the area. Looking at Division 4 matches, Kickapoo will play at Iowa Grant, Boscobel at Wisconsin Heights, and New Lisbon plays at Riverdale. The Chieftains are 7th seed, New Lisbon a 10th seed. The winner of this one will face Brookwood at Brookwood coming up on Thursday night. WRCO will be on hand at Riverdale Schools tonight as the Chieftains entertain the Rockets. Other teams with byes in the first round, Cashton a 3rd seed and Fenimore a number 1 seed, will not have matches until Thursday night. WIA tournament play from Division 5. It will be North Crawford playing at Ithaca. The Trojans, 9th seed, Ithaca, number 8 seed. And the teams just went 5 sets on Thursday night of last week before Ithaca came out a winner. Number 1 seed Royal has a first round bye. Number 5 Hillsboro is hosting number 12 Cooley Christian Providence Academy. Tonight, the winner of that match will face DeSoto on Thursday. Lafarge Youth Initiative will be at Wanewalk Center, and Wazika Steuben will be entertaining Weston tonight in the first round of the tournament. The winner of that match will face number 2 seed Highland in the next round. Lafarge and Wanewalk Center winner will face Seneca in the next round. The WIA tournament continues Thursday night, and the regional champions will be crowned on Saturday of this weekend. This coming weekend, Pumpkin Fest will be held in Richland Center. And to go along with that and their open house this weekend, Simon's Recreation Complex will be hosting a 5K and 10K run. Kyle Ewing is assistant director with Simon's Recreation Complex, and he looks forward to the event.
The 5K, 10K, and the walk are going to start at 9 o'clock on that Saturday morning. Well, let me back up. The first event starts at 9, so the 10K will start at 9. These are our newly established start times. As you can see, like what we have posted was just 9 o'clock start time, but the 10K will start at 9, the 5K will start at 9:15, and then the walk will start at 9:30. Going to stagger them a little bit in hopes that we can kind of somewhat finish everybody roughly about the same time, because we'll do the awards. I think tentatively we're planning for 10:30. We're hoping for that good weather. Like we were talking, it's supposed to be a nice day. At least it'll be, you've got some other places to kind of walk around and see that day. You'll be able to get into Simon's for free. We're going to actually have the gym open, the UW Richland gym, so people can kind of go in there and walk around as we kind of start to use that a little bit more. And then our foundation is going to be grilling up some brats, and someone was generous enough to donate brats for this event. So we're hoping if you finish the race a little bit early and you're waiting for the awards or something like that, you can get some brats and some other treats as we wait for the award ceremony.
The run walk will also utilize a new timing system.
So 3 groups went together to purchase it. It was not, you know, those can be pretty pricey if anybody knows anything about timing systems and how they work. So 3 groups went together, and now it's our turn to use it. So.
Have you found that to be, I mean, people seem to like it. It's gone over pretty well.
Yeah, and, you know, it's definitely worth the cost. I mean, just it's a lot of work to set up and get ready for, but once you're there, you know how it works. It takes a lot of the extra work with, you know, getting everyone's time down, and it's just a lot more professional. It looks a lot better than just maybe 4 or 5 people out there standing with clocks and trying to read your time off one big giant clock at the finish line. So,
Kyle Ewing of Simon's Recreation Complex. You can register for the run walk in advance at simonsrec.com or the day of the event. If you register in advance, the cost to enter is $35 for the run and $20 for the walk. If you register the day of the event, the cost is $40 for the run and $25 for the walk. Major Bowling League scores last night. New York Life had the top series, 35-45. Cardinal CG, 35-18. Richland Family Restaurant, 3,504. Team game honors, New York Life, 12-48. Cardinal CG, 12-36. Vanity Fur Grooming, 12-11. Top series, Derek Calland, 186 over average with a 735. Greg Shep with a 729. And Brandon DeBeikeler with a 127 over average night and a 655. Bowling high game honors, Derek Calland, 96 over average with a 279. Greg Shep, 267. Brandon DeBeikeler with a 251. Eric Olson bowled a 615 series, 120 over average, and Jason Edgerly with a 544, 112 over average in the Major Bowling League. On the state scene, University of Wisconsin Athletics Director Chris McIntosh is giving his public support to football coach Luke Fickell for a second time. TMJ4 reports that McIntosh says he still has confidence in Fickell and repeats the program is their long-term investment in him. A letter was sent to fans on Monday. Wisconsin has lost five games in a row, hasn't scored a point since October 4th, and still faces five difficult games remaining on the schedule. That is an update on sports. I am Phil Nee reporting to you during Pat Kreitlow Mornings. Enjoy your fall day here in Southwest Wisconsin.
News from the Center, WRCE.
107.7 WRCE, news from the Center and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thede. The Iowa County Sheriff's Office, with assistance from multiple law enforcement and emergency response agencies, successfully brought an incident in the village of Cobb to a peaceful resolution Saturday evening. At approximately 6:25, deputies were dispatched to Division Street in Cobb for a report of a disturbance involving an individual barricaded inside a vehicle. The situation was determined to involve a firearm, and out of an abundance of caution, additional law enforcement resources were requested. After several hours of communication and negotiation, the subject exited the vehicle and was safely taken into custody without injury. The suspect was identified as Tina Rochelle Scales Toborg, 61, of DeForest. Scales Toborg was taken into custody and transported to the Iowa County Jail on five misdemeanor charges of go armed with a firearm while intoxicated, operating while under the influence, third offense, resisting or obstructing an officer, possession of THC, and disorderly conduct. Richland County grant funding is available to support prevention, treatment, and recovery related to the opioid epidemic. Nonprofit organizations, businesses, schools, and local government agencies located in and serving Richland County and its residents are welcome to apply. Funding can be requested by completing an application and submitting it to the attention of the Director of Richland County Health and Human Services by 4:30 Thursday. Applications will be reviewed at the Health and Community Services Committee meeting on November 6th at 9:30.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. At this past weekend's box office, horror was king. Not a huge surprise with Halloween right around the corner, but give some credit to good reviews and a solid sequel as Black Phone 2 landed at number 1 with $26.2 million at the gate. The original Black Phone also had decent reviews and opened with about $23 million at the box office. Coming in second place was last week's winner, Tron Eris, which pulled in about $11 million. Good Fortune came in at number 3 in its first week of release with pretty good reviews for this comedy that brought in just over $6 million. One Battle After Another brought in $4 million in its fourth week in theaters for a total haul of about $62 million domestically. Action comedy True Story Roofman brought in $3.5 million in its second week. According to Variety, despite Black Phone 2's impressive weekend, the results were a bit lackluster. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy, blustery, and colder with some scattered showers developing in the afternoon. Highs only in the mid to upper 40s. An isolated shower in the evening, otherwise breezy and cold, with lows in the upper 30s. Current temperature is 43.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo, what's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and I dig into Donald Trump's promise to sic the IRS on his enemies. I thought that was illegal. We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Tomorrow on the program, a nice typical Wednesday morning with Ellie Bardot, the editor of the Up North News Daily Newsletter, will join us just after the 7 o'clock news. We will be visited by Earl Ingram to talk about the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast on Civic Media. Melissa Baldoff will have our climate check. We'll talk to Jimmy Koska, Civic Media sports director, and more. That's all coming up tomorrow here between 6 and 9 on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, Civic Media political editor, joins us now as well. Mr. Schaefer, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Kreitlow. Always wonderful to join you here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Powered by Up North News. On those
powered things. By Up
you gotta,
North News.
You got to give the whole team. I mean, the whole marketing thing. I mean,
the whole thing. You're right.
The whole
right.
Schmear. They it's get mad if you don't give the whole title all the time. So, Dan, thank you for joining me on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's like talking about yourself in third person. You know,
that's right. Yeah.
It's awkward, and yet it's what the people want. So, did you partake in some observing of No Kings rallies over the weekend?
I did. I did go to the Milwaukee No Kings rally, took some photos. You can see those photos now at the Recombobulation Area. Wasn't able to be there for the entire event, but I got there, saw a couple of the speakers, and then made my way through the crowd and kind of tagged along with the march and took some photos and just kind of took it all in. You know, it was a great experience. Very peaceful in Milwaukee. You know, lots of people very fired up. You know, I saw that we had at the Milwaukee one, there was a, you know, presence from some voices that you may hear on the Civic Media Network. Earl Ingram was the MC. Maggie Dawn spoke. Angela Lang spoke. So it was a great event.
And again, you know, not disruptive, which, by the way, is not just a credit to all the people that showed up and didn't take the bait, but frankly, it just doesn't sound like a lot of people were out there baiting the crowds. I mean, we've heard people drove by and gave, you know, one finger salutes and honked their horns, but there was, I would say, minimal disruption or counter protesting. It was just a largely peaceful day of protest, which is about as American as it gets.
Absolutely. Yeah, the only thing I saw in Milwaukee, there was one part of the parade route went past like an apartment building and somebody was trying to like drive out of the parking garage and towards the traffic. And it was blocked by the several blocks of protesters. And I just thought it was funny that the person leaving at that time happened to be driving a Tesla. so they blocked the Tesla from trying to get out of their apartment downtown. I thought, yeah, that, I did get a little kind of a kick out of that. So.
Well, yeah, because if it had been a Subaru, Subaru, you know the crowd would have parted.
That's right.
Come on down. It's just fine. But they're not doing that for a Tesla by no stretch whatsoever. So, yeah, so we did have these rallies that got out there. And again, just from the standpoint of observing it, we talked to Cam Stevenson in our last half hour about how, you know, in many places, crowds were double or even triple what they were for the protests in June, that at the moment, there does not seem to be anything that would indicate the pendulum swinging back toward support for Donald Trump. If that many more people want to show up this time at a protest, then clearly people don't show up at these things unless they've got a beef. There's no George Soros paycheck or anything like that. These are people that have legitimate gripes or at least concerns about what's happening in the present day.
That's exactly right. It's a whole lot of people who are very concerned about the future of the country and the present of the country and what has happened over the last 9 months since Donald Trump has returned to office. And you know, I've found it so funny and, you know, predictably, I guess, to a certain extent, Republicans are just like, you know, saying, oh, well, he was elected. You don't have a king. You know, this isn't a no kings. Well, look what he is doing. He is governing as if he was a king. Look at what just yesterday at the White House, they're tearing down, you know, part of the East Wing. It does not seem like he has any plans to leave. He has his Donald Trump 2028 gift shop merch next to tearing down a part of the White House. Like, it doesn't seem like he has any plans to leave. And then just look at everything that he is doing as president now, trying to trample over the Constitution, trample over court orders, pretty much sideline Congress entirely, governed by executive order. This is the exact type of thing that we should all be concerned with. The rise of encroaching authoritarianism.
Yes, yes. The monarchy wannabes, if you will, out there. And a you know, complacent, compliant Congress that goes along with it. The only person that was, you know, posting more obsessively to social media than Donald Trump was Derek Van Orden, with reportedly at least 250 posts to Twitter over the course of the weekend. Because, again, it's not like he's got anything else to do in Congress these days. But, I mean, I would like to think we are paying our presidents and our members of Congress to do more than obsessively post to social media. I mean, I can do that, but I haven't been elected to anything.
Yeah, well, I saw that one of the guys from that group, Midas Touch, posted something saying that Derek Van Orden made 257 posts Saturday and Sunday on X, breaking Nancy Mace's record for a weekend and pushing Mike Lee into third all time. So he's, you know, he's really breaking records out here. Even Derek Van Orden ramped it up this weekend for his his posts. Pretty wild.
Yeah, really, really not advertising himself as any kind of effective lawmaker at all. And again, he's towing the company line, like Speaker Mike Johnson. I guess Congressman Brian Stile was on Upfront on WISN TV in Milwaukee this past weekend, along with Congresswoman Gwen Moore from Milwaukee. And again, nobody likes to say, well, there's nothing new. Fact of the matter is there is nothing new in D.C. Brian Stile is still parroting the Republican points. Gwen Moore is still, you know, telling you, you know, what's actually happening with the shutdown. If anything's new, it's the ongoing number of federal employees and others who are concerned about the lack of paychecks. I mean, was it in Milwaukee or elsewhere? They're starting to do food drives for like federal workers, TSA workers, things like that. That's where we're at.
That's where we're at. And I think you mentioned this on the show all the time. It's just Republicans could end this pretty much whenever that they want to. Right. I mean, and I think Republicans have been really losing the argument on what Democrats are, you know, making this shutdown about, which is extending those healthcare tax credits. And I think, you know, we saw some data come across yesterday in Wisconsin about how, the Wisconsin Democratic Party released some information about how high average premiums are going to be going up across the state without these subsidies being in place. So it's, you know, we're still seeing the standoff. But I think, you know, we had even Marjorie Taylor Greene last week saying that, you know, this is going to impact people in my district, people in Georgia. And I think many people, members of Congress, are seeing that, like, if Republicans decide not to play ball on negotiating on these tax credits, it's going to be bad for all of their constituents back home. It's going to be bad for all of them in the midterms.
Yeah. Again, there is no there's no position or talking point from the Republicans that makes Americans go, oh, yeah, I could totally see that side of it. Whereas they're hearing Democrats talking about health insurance costs spiking. They're seeing the spiking and understanding, you know, that's not BS. And so, yeah, you see why public opinion is the way that it is. So, well, let's shift gears then back to the state level that you cover so well. And we'll talk about the governor's race here for a sec, because we did get a chance to interview Francesca Hong. We heard that interview back early this morning. We had Kelda Royz on last week. Of course, more candidates, you know, as we're able to get them on the show here and across the Civic Media Radio Network. But I wanted to, you know, come back to my question to Fran was about what lane are you in trying to stand out? And she embraced the wild card label, like the Uno game, and that, and she framed it in a way as that the Uno card, the wild card in Uno, can change the direction of the game. And it's like she's trying to shift the conversation, make sure it doesn't drift too far moderate, I guess, if you'd call it that. You want to go through, and so can we, without trying to pigeonhole, but the lanes that these people are in, if Fran is the, you know, the wild card lane, where does that put David Crawley and Missy Hughes and things like that? How would you kind of describe their lanes?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things going on here with it, because I think there's both some ideological lanes, as you kind of pointed to, Francesca Hong being probably the most progressive candidate in the field for governor who has announced just yet. And so I think there will be, you know, progressive, moderate, you know, finding that center, whatever it might be. I also think there are kind of some regional lanes to examine with this, too, because, you know, Francesca Hong and Kelda Royz being from Madison, David Crowley being the Milwaukee County executive. You know, so I think there are some lanes regionally that we should be, you know, taking into consideration too, because I think that's going to be a big part of the primary calculus. And I do think, you know, unlike the Senate race a couple of years ago that we had in the Democratic primary in 2022, you know, I think this is going to be a race that is going to go all the way to the primary. I don't think this is going to be one that is going to, you know, have someone emerge as some sort of clear front runner and everybody step aside. That happened pretty late in the race with Mandela Barnes in 2022. You know, I certainly could see it happening on the Republican side if Tom Tiffany does land that apparently coveted Trump endorsement. But I think, you know, Francesca Hong could be the progressive candidate here. David Crowley, I think he's the only candidate that really has executive experience, so that could be a part of the lane that he carves out. You know, if Kelda Royz, as she did in 2018, gets a lot of endorsements from a lot of pro-choice reproductive rights groups, you know, that could be a part of her candidacy too. And then Sarah Rodriguez, you know, being a candidate that flipped a assembly district from red to blue, she could kind of be somebody who could be indicative of those shifts that are happening in the suburbs, especially given her healthcare background. You know, I think there are places like, you know, Wauwatosa and Whitefish Bay around Milwaukee that have zoomed to the left in recent years, and perhaps Rodriguez could be a candidate to speak to those types of voters.
Yeah, and then you've got Missy Hughes, you know, running in the lane of business savvy from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. And so, yeah, you've got some they're bunched up regionally, but it feels like everybody's got their own little area of expertise that, frankly, if you're a voter, I mean, I'm not going to lie, if I were going into that booth right now, if today were August 11th, 2026, I think a whole lot of voters would go, you know, and not come in with a firm, yep, this is my person, right or wrong. So it's why we're going to hear so much of them over the, you know, the next many months here.
And I think
it themselves.
And I think this is a strong bench too. These are quality candidates, and I do think that, having this debate about what the future of the Democratic Party, a future of Wisconsin is going to be, is an important one that we need to have, because I think, you know, nationally and elsewhere, Democrats, the brand is bruised. The brand is not in great shape. And I do think we often see in Wisconsin an election here that can preview an election nationally. So can Wisconsin figure out the path forward and maybe they can lead the way for the rest of the Democrats across the country?
Alicia notes on YouTube, they are all good choices. And again, that's why there's going to be so much said between now and August 11th. And like Dan says, probably have a large chunk of the field stay in it all the way through. On the other side of the break, I'm going to ask Dan about Tom Tiffany and Josh Shulman on the Republican side and whether there is something to be said for not necessarily wanting Trump's endorsement if his ratings continue to fall as we get closer to next August. That's coming up right after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866.
Everyone wins when we take care of the environment. GFL delivers affordable, sustainable waste handling solutions to keep customers green for life. Diverse services include commercial waste and recycling collection, roll-off dumpster rental, and more. Customizing options to meet your specific business needs. GFL is the total solution. A local, trusted service provider in solid waste collection, recycling, and disposal services. Providing you with safe, dependable, and efficient solid waste and recycling services. Green today. Green for life. GFL.
It takes hard work to be the best in the game. Planning, commitment, resilience, sweat. That's why Old Dominion Freight Line, the number one national LTL carrier for quality, works hard to be the best in the game and is proud to support those striving to be the best in theirs. Old Dominion Freight Line, official freight carrier of Wisconsin Athletics, helping the world keep promises.
Matt Nair on air.
He is the executive director of Back 40 Action. Will Westmoreland is here. So, Will, we can't sell our soybeans. There's no market for that. But Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Agriculture, says it's all great. What are you hearing from fellow farmers?
Well, Jane, we are the world's leader in one department of agriculture now that Donald Trump is president and Brooke Rollins is Secretary of Agriculture, and that's word salad.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag,
this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, back now with Dan Schaefer at just about 8:53 on this Tuesday, October 21st. Nice to have you along here. Let's wrap up our conversation on the governor's race, and then we're going to get into some disturbing allegations about how the Department of Public Instruction has handled possible sexual misconduct cases. So that topic is coming up in just a moment. But to wrap up the gubernatorial nomination discussions, you've got two candidates in there right now. Everybody, in quotation marks, believes Tom Tiffany is the front runner, being a member of Congress, a longtime member of the state legislature. Prior to that, Josh Shulman is the Washington County executive. And I think it was last week I said, Dan, that there's no real reason for President Donald Trump to make an endorsement. If there's just the two candidates, he can let them fight it out to see who can grovel the most, who can love him the most publicly and all that. But in light of the No Kings protests, I mean, this is a fair question to ask. Is there something to be said for looking at the tea leaves and saying, you know, it's okay if Trump doesn't endorse me, either one of those two, because as we get closer to the August primary, it could be that there's a lane for one of them to say, you know, I'm going to be the one who's independent from Donald Trump. Right now, that's a death knell in a Republican primary, but might there be a lane for that by next summer?
It's an interesting question and one to consider because, you know, Trump's popularity has never been lower than it is right now. It's about where it was, you know, following January 6th. But I do think that, you know, he's still so popular within the Republican Party. And I think the Republican Party, you know, folks, Republicans in Wisconsin also recognize that Trump was able to drive turnout in ways that most other Republican candidates have not been able to do. You know, he won the vote in the state last year by really driving turnout among a lot of voters who don't typically turn out in every election. So I think that was part of the calculus and why, you know, they really tied themselves to Trump in the state Supreme Court race with Brad Schimmel. And I think it's why we're going to see candidates continue to do that in Wisconsin, because Trump won here and he won here by driving turnout. And I think that is, you know, whether or not the Trump endorsement is a good thing for the general election for Republicans, you know, that's a conversation that we can have around this time next year. But I do think that, you know, in a primary, it matters. And I think just to the larger calculus of how many votes are going to turn out in next November, I think, you know, he's still been proven to drive that turnout. And I think that's going to be a factor for why Republicans are going to stick with him through the midterms.
So the easiest prediction I will make all day is that the eventual Republican nominee on August 10th will tell you how close they are to Donald Trump. On August 11th, we'll win the primary. And on August 12th, we'll say, I am the person who is going to be an independent voice for Wisconsin, and I don't need Donald Trump. That's just my bold prediction.
That's a very sound prediction, Mr. Kreitlow.
Thank you. That's what they pay me to do here, almost. So now on a much more somber, serious topic, there was a year-long investigation done by the Cap Times out of Madison. The headline is 200 teacher sexual misconduct and grooming cases were shielded from the public, and goes on to discuss, you know, what has been the result of their reporting. And yet from the Department of Public Instruction, you have a statement where Superintendent Jill Underley is demanding a public correction of recent reporting by the Cap Times, and says that any suggestion that the DPI withholds information from the public is categorically false. And of course, Republicans who have never been necessarily friendly toward public education have, you know, seized upon this right away. So like it or not, whatever the facts are or not, you now have politicization of these, you know, alleged terrible cases happening in our schools. And Dan, I think this is a topic that more people are going to learn about, and it's going to stick with us for a while.
Yeah, I think this is a big story, and I think this is a big deal, and I think we should take it seriously. You know, if this is a year-long investigation by the Cap Times that I'll just quote right from the story here, found that the State Department of Public Instruction investigated more than 200 Wisconsin teachers, aides, substitutes, and administrators from 2018 to 2023 who were accused of sexual misconduct or grooming behaviors towards students. Information previously unknown to the public. You're right. Republicans did react to this quickly. They have called an assembly committee hearing. And like you said, Jill Underle has since her office has since released a statement disputing some of the reporting. However, I will note that she refused to be interviewed for this story by the Cap Times, which to me is always a little bit telling. Like if she's trying to play cleanup, or the office there is trying to play cleanup after the fact of a story, it doesn't sit the same way as if you answered these questions to begin with. So I think, you know, I think Dr. Underle has some, I think this is a serious story, and I think they have invited her to appear at this assembly committee hearing. And if you're not going to respond to reporters, if you're not going to respond to journalists, you're going to end up sitting for a story like this. You're going to end up sitting in front of an assembly hearing and having to answer in a very different way, in a very public way. And I think that's where she's headed here. And I think this is a disturbing story in a lot of ways. It's one that it's a tough read where, you know, we can't really talk about that much of it here on the radio. But I would encourage folks to read this one because it's a lot of serious topics. And this is a serious investigative story that we need to take seriously.
And from a press standpoint and a politics standpoint, and I'm not saying that this is necessarily a case of it, but there have been plenty of cases where people don't respond. In essence, they are wishing the story away. Mm-hmm. And you cannot wish away a request by a reporter to look into something serious. Just because you don't talk to them doesn't mean the story won't get done. And that's, you know, some folks discover that the hard way. So again, a serious story that we'll be following for the foreseeable future here. And you can read more of Dan's reporting following up on this at the recombobulationarea.news as Civic Media's political editor. Dan, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. Hope you have a great day.
Thanks, Pat. Be well.
All right. Thank you. Coming up next, Matt Nair on Air. I will join Jane and Greg at 9:35. And then, of course, we'll have a lot of our regular Wednesday guests coming up tomorrow morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News, part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network. We will see you tomorrow morning here, bright and early, 6 a.m. here up north.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. 3 weeks into the government shutdown, Republican senators are expected to head to the White House today. They've got a group lunch with President Trump. On November 1st, supplemental food benefits for low-income Americans will be cut off because of the shutdown. Also November 1st, open enrollment for those Obamacare begins without government help paying for premiums. The president of the Louvre will appear before France's Senate Culture Committee today, talking about the brazen jewel heist on Sunday. ABC's James Longman has the latest from Paris.
Grand moment d'émotion, un grand moment de bouleversement.
France's culture minister calling the raid an attack on French history and culture, and that the thieves spent just 3 minutes and 50 seconds inside the Apollo Gallery. The race is on to find eight of France's priceless crown jewels. The thieves did leave behind their gloves, gasoline, and a blowtorch, all now undergoing DNA analysis.
Amid reports of predators online, investigators in Florida are demanding access to Roblox. This is ABC News.